Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, designing custom bathrooms that fit every personal style. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Abby Larico. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and the State General Assembly are looking at a multi-billion dollar budget deficit. Fixing it may require big changes.
Illinois has always had a structural imbalance between its revenue growth and its cost growth because its tax policy doesn't work in the modern economy.
A look at the state of Illinois' finances ahead of the governor's annual budget address. Plus, St. Louis public school advocates spent a day in Jefferson City lobbying Missouri lawmakers to support their schools.
We ask our parents to tell their stories. We ask our parents to tell the legislators about themselves and about their kids' experience and why they choose St. Louis public schools.
St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed joined the group at the state capitol to learn more about their message. Those stories coming up on The Gateway. Annie Malone, Children and Family Services, has canceled its May Day parade this year. It's one of the nation's largest African-American parades and has been a St. Louis tradition for over a century. It had been scheduled this year for May 18th. But now the nonprofit says it is prioritizing funding and resources to directly support its clients who need shelter and food. The parade is the organization's largest fundraiser. Now, instead, it's asking for a million people in the community to donate $136 each, a nod to its 136-year history. The money will directly support programming, shelter, and other services. The Missouri House has given initial approval to legislation placing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department under state control. Through the legislation, the department would no longer answer to the mayor's office, but instead a five-member board in which four of the commissioners are governor-appointed. Representative Brad Crist, a Republican from St. Louis County, is the sponsor of the legislation.
This robust bill will create a foundation for a safer Missouri. And for all these very good reasons, I ask you to highly consider supporting this bill to support the police and make Missouri safe again.
Democrats spoke mostly against the legislation, including Representative Ray Reed of Brentwood.
It's incredibly frustrating, Mr. Speaker, to constantly feel like the hammer is being brought down on you. And that's what I think this bill will do for people who look like me in the city of St. Louis.
The St. Louis Police Department has been under local control since 2013, after Missouri voters approved a ballot measure in 2012. The Republican-led House advanced the bill on a voice vote. It needs another vote to pass the chamber. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe has issued an executive order that eliminates diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within the state government. The order bars state funds from going to those programs and, quote, prevents agencies from considering DEI in their hiring decisions. The order also requires all state agencies to review their existing programs, contracts, and policies within 90 days to ensure compliance. Kehoe spoke against diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in his State of the State address. In an interview with St. Louis Public Radio in January, Kehoe says he wants to create what he called an even playing field.
If they work hard, we want to have the flexibility to be able to reward them, and that's what I want. That's the environment I'd like to see created in state government.
The statement issued by Kehoe's administration says the state will continue to enforce laws that prohibit discrimination. Republicans in the Missouri House and Senate say they are pressing forward with bills to limit abortion. That's following a court ruling last week that allows the procedures to resume across the state. The lawmakers gathered yesterday to discuss the issue, as St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports.
Amendment 3 added a right to abortion to the state constitution. However, until this week, abortion still couldn't be performed over most of the state due to strict licensing requirements. Republicans say that putting a new measure on the ballot to undo Amendment 3 is a priority. They say that measure will include exceptions, such as for the health of the mother. Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman says she believes Republicans can craft a measure that will be accepted by voters.
It is clear that Missourians want to make sure that fundamentally in the Constitution, it is delineated that there are a right to abortions to save the life of the mother and some of the other hard cases.
Several bills that would put abortion back on the ballot have already been introduced in both chambers. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Donald Danforth Plant Science Center has found its next president. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports Giles Oldroyd will assume the role later this year.
Oldroyd comes to the Danforth Center from the University of Cambridge, where he's a professor of crop science and directs the Crop Science Center. He says he's focused on leading the Danforth Center to drive plant science innovation that builds equity and sustainability into global food production systems.
Sustainability and equity in food production is as relevant, in fact, more relevant today than it perhaps was even 30 years ago. My interest in taking on the presidency in particular is to really make sure that we deliver on that vision.
He says that means making discoveries in plant science tangible for farmers and consumers. Oldroyd begins as president on October 1st and succeeds James Carrington, who announced his departure from the Danforth Center last July. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis region is waking up to more snow, with nearly 2 more inches falling since yesterday evening in the metro area. The National Weather Service office in St. Louis is still gathering snowfall totals this morning, but some counties south of the metro area are already reporting 8 to 11 inches of snow accumulation since early Tuesday. The Missouri Department of Transportation warns that off-ramps, bridges, and intersections could be the slickest today. Kevin Deitch is a local NWS meteorologist.
Just be careful if you're out driving, especially if you're heading south of Metro St. Louis. And if you do have to be out, again, that bitter cold is dangerous. So pack extra clothing and extra blankets just in case you get stranded and people can't get to you.
And in classic St. Louis fashion, yesterday's snow also covered Forest Park's Art Hill with sledders. It's a tradition for many, but Michael Perman experienced it yesterday for the first time, having moved with his son recently from Los Angeles. Perman says he'd been told St. Louis had mild winters.
Yeah, this doesn't seem that mild, especially compared to L.A., but we're enjoying it. It's fun enjoying the change of season, and it's nice to be out here in it.
The Weather Service anticipates the snow will remain until the weekend when it gets above freezing. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker presents his vision for a state budget today. He and the state legislature have a big task, tackling a multi-billion-dollar deficit before the end of this fiscal year while trying to find enough money to pay for critical needs and services. Illinois State House reporter Alex Degman spoke with Ralph Martiri, executive director of the nonprofit Center for Tax and Budget Accountability, about Illinois' financial state.
Illinois faces a more than $3 billion budget deficit. How did that happen?
Well, it's a combination of factors. I think, you know, you have to understand that one thing that did happen is we are now out of the COVID relief money. And Illinois has always had a structural imbalance between its revenue growth and its cost growth because its tax policy doesn't work in the modern economy. A lot of people, and I've heard a lot of talking heads say, well, you know, it's a spending problem in Illinois. It's not a revenue problem. That's probably one of the most repeated myths I have heard about fiscal policy in Illinois. Literally, no data support that, Alex, just not one piece of data. If you look at the state's total expenditures as they're projected to be at the end of this current fiscal year, 2025, which ends this June, the state will be spending 9.1% less on the services it funds this year than it did under George Ryan, Republican governor, the year 2000, 25 years ago. So Illinois never has had a spending problem. They have always had a bad tax policy.
But the governor has made it clear that he doesn't want to think about revenue enhancements like tax hikes, fee hikes right now, taxing services. So really, how does that gap get closed? Where does the money come from if not revenue enhancements?
You don't have a lot of options if you don't have revenue enhancements on the table. And I think this is a brilliant time to actually put revenue enhancements on the table in a structural way, in a way where you're actually trying to solve long-term problems instead of trying to cobble through some short Band-Aid solution. 95 cents out of every dollar goes to education, health, social services, and public safety. And so here's what the polling data says about voters' attitudes about these things. Do they like tax increases? Let me think about it. No, voters tend to not like tax increases. That consistently comes up with a you know, most of the state, 58, 59%, upwards of 65, 66% saying don't increase taxes. by far and away a larger percentage say, but don't cut education, don't cut healthcare, don't cut human services, and don't cut public safety. Well, that's what would have to be cut.
What are budget negotiations like right now in the wake of such uncertainty from the federal government? And is it even possible to craft a spending plan when there's just so much that you don't know?
Even before this administration came in, the long-term trend, federal support has been declining slowly over time the last 15, 20 years. That's just been the trend. Certainly, the Trump administration is exacerbating that trend and in a way that it's really hard to predict where they're going to end up. But that just means control what you can control.
So what is within the control of lawmakers and the governor? What do you think is most important for them to be focusing on?
I believe that the Pritzker administration will work collaboratively with a General Assembly that the Democrats control in both chambers. You have great leadership in the Senate and President Harmon. You have great leadership in the House and Chris Welch. I do think he'll work with them to find a way to build a budget, but it's going to be a challenge if they don't put revenue on the table.
That was Alex Degman speaking with Ralph Martiri, executive director of the nonprofit Center for Tax and Budget Accountability. We'll have live coverage of the governor's address today, beginning at noon on St. Louis Public Radio. This month, families and school leaders from St. Louis gathered in Jefferson City to make their case to lawmakers on why they should support public schools. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed tagged along for the trip and brings us this report.
Ladies and gentlemen of the General Assembly.
A group of roughly 50 parents, students, and school leaders sit nestled together in the viewing area at the Missouri State House. They're introduced by St. Louis Representative Lakeisha Bosley.
Please give where I grew up, where I learned of the St. Louis Public Schools a luxurious round of applause.
This group is here in Jefferson City for their fourth annual Day of Action.
So when I say public schools, you're going to say?
Proud!
Public schools!
That's Tracy Fantini. Public she co-chairs school. The Parent Action public Council, school. An advocacy group for St. Louis Public Schools. She helped organize this Day of Action, which is when parents, students, and school leaders lobby state lawmakers on legislation that supports public schools.
We ask our parents to tell their stories. We ask our parents to tell the legislators about themselves and about their kids' experience and why they choose St. Louis Public Schools, because we don't want to be a faceless, nameless number when they're making decisions that affect us.
Now the real work begins.
So let's go back to the first floor and we'll see if we can find Representative Murray.
Everyone is divided into small groups and assigned a list of lawmakers to visit. First stop is Democratic Representative Marty Murray's office. He represents the 78th District in St. Louis.
I was loving seeing everybody.
Molly Metzger, an SLPS parent and council member, makes the first pitch.
So we're here today because we love St. Louis Public Schools.
Okay.
And we love public education in general.
Absolutely.
And so we're here to fight for them. So we have a legislative agenda for you.
Okay. Marching orders. Let's do
it.
Metzger hands Representative Murray some handouts with bills they'd like for him to support. Things like more funding for literacy programs, school safety, and supports for homeless students. But not all lawmakers are an easy sell, like Republican Representative Ann Kelly, who represents the 127th District outside of Springfield.
So I'm rural Missouri, right? Southwest corner. Whenever I think of school choice, that's kind of what I envision is will happen, is schools specialize in certain areas, and then you'll send your kids where you want your specialty or where the kids' preference is.
But fifth grader August from Mallinckrodt Academy of Gifted Instruction is up for the task. He's got his mom, Jamie Bremerkamp, by his side.
And school is one of the most important things to me because without school, we're never going to make advancements in the world. But they can't push me to be the best I can be with budget cuts.
Have you heard that there's going to be budget cuts?
We've got one particular ask for St. Louis Public School. We have typically a $2.5 million line item for literacy.
The budget cuts they're referencing include possible changes to the foundation formula, which is how public schools in Missouri are funded. Earlier this year, Governor Mike Kehoe called for an overhaul of the formula.
The foundation formula in its current form has gotten out of control.
Kehoe announced a new task force that will reimagine the way public schools are funded. Missouri lawmakers have also introduced an open enrollment bill, which would allow for public school parents to enroll their children in schools outside of the district they reside in. This bill, in particular, worries Gloria Nolan, who serves as the parent liaison for SLPS. She says open enrollment would take students and resources away from public schools in cities like St. Louis.
It won't serve all of our families well. This will be an opportunity to try to pick who they consider the best and brightest from our public school students and leave students behind. And that's not what we need.
But the group's spirits weren't dampened by the possibility of this legislation being passed by a Republican supermajority. Instead, the group made sure their voices were heard one last time. In Jefferson City, I'm Heba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.